be moving through together a new sermon series as we turn from the season of Advent and from this year into a new year together. In some ways, we've sort of gotten rolling in it with our scripture readings for Advent, because the series is going to be a book study going through the book of Luke from now actually all the way through Lent and leading up to our celebration of Easter and Jesus' resurrection and the telling of that in Luke as well. This is something that we haven't done in our sermon series yet, is look specifically and in detail in one particular book and the story of Jesus' life and ministry there. And so I think that this will be an interesting thing for us to do together, to see that story of Jesus' life, ministry, and the salvation that he brings in sequence, getting to have some deeper context, and also seeing the interrelationship between events and what might have been happening. Sometimes we read things only in a certain piece, and not seeing some of the other things around it actually makes us miss something. And so my hope is that that's something that we'll enjoy together. Maybe some of you have been participating in the Women of Hope Advent Reflection Series, and so this kind of aligns well. You're like, ooh, I got a sneak preview of all the things that will be happening in the sermon series, which is great. I hope so. And if you did participate in that, and there are any particular passages that you read in Luke during that time and you said, I would really love to make sure that we hear a sermon on that, because we're going to go through as much of Luke as possible, but some mornings if, you know, we were trying to read everything, we'd have like 10-15 minutes of scripture reading and then all of my time as well. It might get a little bit, feel like a lot. So we're going to pick certain passages. So if there's any that you would really love to hear a sermon on, do contact me about that. And maybe there's even some passages that you said, you know, that was actually really strange. It was more confusing and kind of unusual to me than it was encouraging and exciting. But I'd love to know more about what Luke was saying and how God is speaking to us through that scripture. And so you can let me know about those as well. Maybe we can learn some things together, even through some of those more difficult and challenging scriptures. One thing that I want us to remember as we head into this series is the special type of writing that Gospels are. Sometimes we can think of the Gospels just as a straight retelling of the story of Jesus, but if you look at each of the Gospels closely, you might realize that they all are a little bit different. Maybe they put certain events in slightly different order. Maybe some events are recounted in one Gospel but not in another Gospel. And you might wonder, why is it that those things would be different? And what does that mean about the Bible and about the life of Jesus if things don't completely align exactly? You might even wonder, why do we even have four Gospels if, you know, shouldn't somebody have just told the story of Jesus one certain way and then it gets passed down to us and we're all set? But the Gospels were written by people specifically for certain audiences to be able to help them connect the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the salvation that Jesus offers to their lives. And because different people have different lives and life experiences, different Gospels were written to help emphasize those things, because you can't really say everything about somebody's life in one book or one writing. So different authors emphasize different things to help people from different experiences make those connections in the most meaningful ways. And that's why we have different perspectives, is that helps us in different seasons or from different experiences that we have. We might find ourselves drawn more to Matthew or to Mark or to Luke or to John. And that wouldn't be surprising, and we shouldn't feel bad about that, because that's what they were doing, is they were writing to make sure that anyone had something that would help them connect most with God, because of the things that they chose to help people connect who came from those different experiences. And so in Luke, we're going to find that some of the themes that Luke emphasizes the most is, one, that Jesus brought salvation to both Jews and Gentiles. Luke, in fact, was writing primarily to churches that Paul was founding. He actually spent some of his life traveling with Paul and making sure that Gentiles understood how someone who showed up in Palestine and had roots in Jewish religion could also have meaning to their lives going forward as well, and that the God of the Jewish people was breaking into salvation and life with everyone. And especially shows how the gospel is not just about a time of special set-aside religious time at a church service, or only one part of our life that we keep separate from all the other aspects of our life. Luke really wants to make sure that we see how everything that Jesus' salvation means for all areas of life. And lastly, Luke really emphasizes how what Jesus was doing was not only special unto itself, but that was setting the table and teaching us and empowering us as Jesus' followers eventually to continuing Jesus' ministry, that Jesus was intending to not only come and do something that then we praise him about later, which is true, but also that we can continue to partake in as Jesus' followers all through the future. And that's part of the reason why we see Luke continue his story, some of you may or may not know this, into the book of Acts, that those are actually two halves of essentially the same writing. And so Luke will do things in the first gospel about Jesus' ministry, but then he... forward to. It's really encouraging for us to know that Jesus continues to work through us and continues to see that ministry play out that was started 2,000 years ago but can still happen in our lives today. And Luke is also going to make sure, and we'll see this right away in this first passage, and remember, this is the first verses that come in Luke's gospel after that traditional story of Jesus' birth that we're so used to hearing and that Amy Amater read for us on Christmas Eve. The very next thing that comes after Jesus' arrival. And so we see this special theme that Luke brings out, that the prophets are closest to Jesus and follow him and trust in him and believe in him the most, that even those folks still need to have that continued learning and changing of their expectations. And so we saw in what Mike read for us from the story of Simeon that all of those themes are having the groundwork laid for them from the very beginning with Luke. We see that salvation is proclaimed not only for Jews, but for Gentiles. And this is really powerful that that would happen from a Jewish prophet in the courts of the temple, that Jewish people are hearing someone is coming to connect us with the people around us. That we're going to be that blessing going all the way back even to how God called Abraham. That our people will be that blessing to those around us and they'll be included in what our God is doing. Another thing that's important to lift up is that while we didn't read it today, there's another prophet that encountered Jesus at that same time and that also lifted up praise to God because of Jesus' arrival. She doesn't have as many things to say that are captured in the Gospel of Luke, but it's the prophetess Anna. And again, that's really important that Luke includes her in the gospel because culturally, many people would have said a prophetess is not that important. And unless there's something like really specific that you want to have as a quote that's groundbreaking and revolutionary and therefore justifies including a lowly woman, you wouldn't expect that to be a part of a writing proclaiming the legitimacy of this new savior. But for Luke, it was really important that God was including all these people that were not normally included. And so it's really great to see that Luke is lifting up Anna along with Simeon as that being a part of how it shows that Jesus had come to save people. And then lastly, we see these surprising words that cause reflection, that would have to instigate learning, and that are going to change people's expectations. I don't know if people have read this passage before, but it may have sounded a little bit strange after Simeon praises God to then hear him pull Mary aside and say something that maybe sounds even a little bit discouraging. The child is destined to call the fallen and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's not what we would have expected, especially after just reading previously to this how the angels were proclaiming peace on earth and joy to those who are following this new Savior. This has a little bit of mitigation, a little bit of maybe it's not always going to be incredibly happy and incredibly easy like you might have hoped or expected. But it does also probably sound familiar to us if you were joining us on Christmas Eve, when Mike also read for us another powerful scripture in John 1, verses 9 through 14. There, it talks about Jesus as the light that's come into the world, but somehow, not everyone recognized that light as being there for their salvation. Even God's own did not receive, all of them did not receive Jesus as their Savior. And that's another thing that we would hear and think would be surprising. How could you have salvation come into your life and not recognize or receive it? So we see again in John, in this passage with Simeon and Luke, that the gospel writers are emphasizing that an encounter with Jesus is going to involve a difficult choice, a choice that sometimes will be difficult for us, that sometimes will feel unclear or dark or muddied. It's a choice. Familiar. It's a choice between the powers and people in our society who want our allegiance to serve their own purposes versus God's alternative values with different measures of success, with different expressions of power, and with different versions of inclusion and who gets to be saved. And it may seem even stranger to us, along with these new values and this declaration that things will have to be chosen that can be difficult, that Simeon tells Mary in particular those things that need changing, and that choice and how it faces everyone is going to be laid bare when Jesus comes into our lives. It seems strange that that could be relevant even for Mary, right? Mary, who had angels visit her. Mary, who has just gone through a virgin birth. Mary, who displayed her humility and her desire to serve God over and over again in the stories that we've read recently. But I think it's really important that we do see importance in this, that it would go even to Mary, that challenge of trying to follow God, trying to see God's vision that's different from what we can see in the world, even when it's difficult. We know, and I would say in some ways, especially recently, that it can be really easy to feel like, ooh, yeah, I know that there are different choices that God's offered, and that person over there, they completely need to hear that message. They're the ones that are getting the values of God wrong, and so I can hear this message of we need to see things differently and know exactly who that's probably talking about. And we see this a lot of times in our culture of people throwing bombs at each other about saying, this is the right way to go, this is the wrong way to go, you've completely missed it. And it can be satisfying to feel like I've identified God's values and I can throw that off on somebody else who I think is getting it completely wrong. We love those messages of God's challenge, of God calling someone to something different, if it can be somebody besides ourselves. But it's very hard to turn this critical, vulnerable, confessing eye on ourselves and our own efforts to follow Jesus. It's painful even, like a sword to the heart, to be willing to acknowledge that something that has been comfortable or important to me is something that God is asking me to let go of. It's painful to acknowledge that someone or something in society that I feel some allegiance to is actually asking me too much. Is asking too much allegiance of me, is going the wrong way and not where God would want me to follow them. It's difficult and painful to admit that I may need to make a change towards something that God is calling me to that feels overwhelming, that feels uncomfortable, that feels new, that feels like it may involve struggle. The reason that we can take how seriously this difficulty is, even for Mary, is it helps us understand that we should start with ourselves the same way. If Mary needed to, if the sword of who Jesus was and what Jesus would mean for people's lives would go even to his mother who had experienced all the things that she experienced, then that really reminds us that God wants to start with us as well. And that our transformation may come first from something that feels difficult. These verses and the others that we've read like it recently do make clear that there are going to be those difficult choices that can't job if we don't start with ourselves, of knowing which conflicts are the right ones to stand up for. If we don't start with ourselves, we'll do a bad job of entering into any conflicts that we have graciously, effectively, bravely. And if we don't start with ourselves and let God's sword pierce our hearts, will also do a bad job of bringing in allies from our perceived enemies. It's a spiritual word you may have heard of for that we talk about a lot called conversion. And when we believe in that, even for people that are difficult for us to connect with, then we are truly following God's grace and hope and love. It's not easy. Obviously, our verses today both use imagery that seems painful. It's fighting imagery. And they do that to evoke what it's like to be honest about the things in our own lives that we need to those around us, because we've experienced God doing that in us first. But remember, as much as that language starts sounding difficult, sounding painful, think of how beautiful a message that God invites us into as those verses proceed. If we trust of inclusion for those who have always been left out, will we get to participate in as God's people? What amazing change in the world where there has been brokenness and darkness and oppression and suffering, will we get to join God in bringing hope? I had a pastor growing up who had a pretty interesting image or metaphor to describe what it's like when we can get a little bit fixated on those things that are comfortable and safe and preferential for us, but that God may be asking us to let go of for something better. He said, imagine that there's a kid in the pantry off of a kitchen, sneaking behind a cupboard door a little bit, and he's got a jar of cookies. But the cookies are almost out, so there's just, you know, small leftover half pieces, quarter pieces of cookies at the bottom of the jar. It's not a very big jar, so he's squatting back there hiding so no one will see him because he knows he's not supposed to take the cookies without asking. He's got his hand jammed in there and got a good grip of the cookies, and now he's trying to pull his hand out. The top of the jar is too skinny to let
a closed fist full of cookie crumbs come out of the jar. But he doesn't want to let go. He doesn't want to lose those cookies that he was so happy about.
So he's jerking. Can't figure out what to
do about it. But then in the other room in the kitchen, on the other side of the door, his grandma is about to pull brand new, warm, fresh out of the oven cookies. And she's calling to him, "Grandson, I've got something special for you. Come join me in the kitchen. And let me share this amazing dessert that I have prepared for you." But he doesn't want to get caught. He doesn't know yet fully what that's going to be. And so he's focused on those crumbs of cookies and not being ashamed and not missing out on what he thinks is good. And because of that, he's losing connection with his grandma. He's losing the chance to have more of those cookies. And he's missing out on the fullness that could have been his. If you would let go of that, be willing to say, I was doing something maybe I shouldn't have. I thought I had something good, but it turns out I was getting second best. Could go and join his grandma and have something beautiful. That's what we have the opportunity to do. But not only for ourselves, I want to remind all of us with another image of letting go of something, of how, as this starts with us, the impact will ripple out to so many other people. So I was reflecting on this. I was thinking of some things that my kids have during this season that's been one of their favorite things to do as an activity, and that's to go ice skating. And many of you, maybe the first time that you've gone ice skating, you've had that experience of feeling shaky, and so what do you need to do? You need to get a death grip on that board, on that edge of the rink, so that you don't fall down. Right? And so you'll kind of hobble along while you're gripping the boards of the ice rink, and you'll think, well, that's how I'll go along. At least I won't fall down and bruise my butt or anything. But my kids started that way too, but they knew that there was something more for them if they were willing to let go of the wall. And I saw this start with my daughter, and then when we started bringing Cohen, she helped him when he was scared, in ways that Wendy and I weren't able to convince him, but show him that he could come along if he was willing to let go and trust a little bit. At first, right, maybe you start by saying, yeah, I'll let go of the edge of the rink while I'm skating because there's all these people kind of going fast around me, and sometimes they lose their balance and they slam into me, and I don't want to get smashed into the board. So maybe at first it's just a little bit of self-preservation if I can learn to get away and be a good enough skater to watch out for those folks. But it evolves. It's not just about that self-preservation. Then it's about the joy of the activity of skating and going faster and doing wider, stronger strokes of your skating than you can do when you're latched on to the wall. And finally, it turns into something that's not only about protecting yourself or having joy for yourself, but about what you can share with others, how you can skate and go along with your friends, how you can help up someone else who's slipped and fallen because you're strong enough and you're out in the area where people are falling down sometimes, and you can help them get up so they can continue the joy of skating. And maybe even, not only can you help those who are falling, but as you've tried and trusted and experimented yourself, then you can help more people learn to skate and have that full joy together. And suddenly it becomes something that's about you and your joy, and about other people and their joy, and about the joy that you have together and sharing something and supporting each other. It's scary. You might fall down. You might get embarrassed. You might get some bumps and bruises. But letting go of those things that are easy for ourselves opens up the full possibility of God's amazing world of salvation and transformation that we don't want to miss out on. And that's what God's salvation, coming in the person of Jesus, even when there are messages that seem surprising, that change our expectations, that feel difficult, that is the good news that we get to tap into as God's followers. And I hope as we go out this week and we continue to go through the book of Luke together that we'll see more and more beautiful examples of what we can experience together when we let God continue to shape us.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 125, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
So now, as we go out into our lives today, this week, the rest of this month and year going forward, may you know the Spirit of God powerfully with you in a way that helps you see that amazing life, life that is as sweet as those fresh cookies out of the oven, life that is as liberating and joyful as skating free on an open rink. May that capture your imagination in a way that empowers you when you run into those parts of your life that feel like, God, you're offering me a difficult choice. God, you're asking me to do something that's going to be painful, that's going to involve some mourning. But may you know God's Spirit with you, calling you into that sweet and joyful salvation. And as you do so, may that empower you to enter into it, and even more so to share that with others where they need God's light in their darkness, where they need God's joy in their sorrow, where they need God's transformation in those things that are oppressing them and causing them to struggle. go in the grace and peace of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.